Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Naira Bets.
Coming to the quarter pole, and Miss Bigley's asked to go on. Payjan is all hot, though. She's going with her. Payjan down at the rail, and Miss Bigley stride for stride. Harper's gallops plugging away, but now losing ground in third. They are homeward bound, and Miss Bigley puts her head in front, but Payjan far from done. Payjan comes right back at her at the rail. Payjan and Umberto Rispoli at the rail. Miss Bigley and Juan Hernandez, they are nose and nose to the wire. Miss Bigley going to outrun her. Here's the wire. Miss Bigley, what a dinner thriller. What a hit. Payjan was second. Harper's Gallop third, and then first star.
Now here's Bobby Newman and Bob Nastanovich.
Good evening. Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Bets. It is Friday, November 19th. Bobby Newman along with Bob Nastanovich. We've got 12 big races from around North America, and it's kind of a sandwich here, Bob. We're between some really big events here in the States. Of course, the Breeders' Cup just a few weeks ago at Del Mar. Next week being Thanksgiving, lots of big action from around the country and Aqueduct and Churchill Downs and Fairgrounds and Del Mar. And this is kind of like a calm in between. And we're going to get to preview stakes from tracks that we don't normally look at here on the Weekend Stakes Preview.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'm not very experienced when it comes to Mahoning Valley, but there's two really amazing Ohio breds running in the two stakes races there. So looking forward to talking about those races. And I guess we're going to kick things off with probably is the biggest race of the weekend.
Yeah, we certainly are. And that's coming up at Aqueduct tomorrow. Before we get into that, have you joined the Naira Bets Aqueduct Saturday contest yet? Just a $300 buy-in, cash payouts through 7th place, and an entry into the next $300 contest for 8th through 10th place. Cigar Mile contests are already opening up too. All the best fall and winter horse racing awaits. Tracks like Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, and, of course, Aqueduct, as well as many, many more. With Naira Bets, new users can enjoy a $200 sign-up deposit match bonus anytime. Just use promo code HRRN200, that's HRRN200, no spaces, and get in the action today. And, of course, be sure to tune into America's Day at the Races, running on FS2 every afternoon, Wednesdays through Sundays, the weekend schedule for America's Day at the Races. Tomorrow, FS2 from 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time all the way till 6 o'clock at night. Sunday, they start on FS2 also at 11:30, go to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, then switch the coverage over to FS1 from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. All the great action right there, America's Day at the Races. And, of course, our good friends at Naira Bets providing you all the entertainment you could possibly want for horse racing around the world. Okay, speaking of horse racing around the world, we are certainly going to be taking a trek around North America this week on the Weekend Stakes Preview. And we're going to start right at Aqueduct. It's the Grade 2 $200,000 Red Smith Stakes. These are three-year-olds and up. They're going to go a mile and three-eighths on the turf at Aqueduct. Big field of 10 here, Bob. And the morning line favorite is number 4, Serve the King, for Chad Brown and Irad Ortiz. Serve the King, just a mild favorite at 3-1, but coming off a nice effort last time out, finishing second to Rock Emperor in the Grade 1 Turf Classic.
Very good horse, Serve the King, and I think he definitely will probably go off favorite in here. As you said, it's a very competitive field. A lot of the usual suspects you'd expect to see in a race that's really has a tremendous reputation down the years. It's one of the focal points of the Aqueduct Fall Meet. I'm interested by two things in particular in this race. The very, very classy Channel Cat, a 7-horse who's won nearly $1.5 million in his fantastic career, usually competing at the Grade 1 and Grade 2 level. And he comes off a short break after running, fading into 6th at Kentucky Downs in the Grade 2 Turf Cup down there. And he adds blinkers, which I find particularly intriguing. In his 30th lifetime start, trainer Jack Sisterson has reached for the blinkers. I kind of view that as a negative. I'm going for a price play in here, Bobby. I landed on the 8, Sanctuary City. I was very impressed the way he got after and made a really determined effort to run down the very classy Some Like It Hot Brown at Belmont on November 6th in the Mohawk. and he's a New York bred, and he definitely needs to put forth a career best, but I can see him doing it. And if he does, then it'd be a real feather in his cap. But he's very consistent. I think he's on the improved. He's 20-1 in the morning line. I like Sanctuary City.
Well, one of the big question marks was Sanctuary City, and I'm never going to try to talk anybody off of a 20-1 shot, and I'm not trying to talk you off of this horse, but we don't know how he's going to do at this extended distance of a mile and 3/8. So what is it in watching him run that makes you think this distance will be up his alley?
He always finishes well, and a further inspection of his pedigree, particularly his female family, suggests that the distance might be something that he's been crying out for. So that the added distance actually doesn't bother me at all. I think that might be a plus.
So he's by Temple City, who himself was a son of Dinah Former out of a Loi de Saint-Omer. The distance breeding certainly there on both the top and bottom side for number 8, Sanctuary City. Bob's top selection in tomorrow's Red Smith will be one of the longer shots on the board. I did not get as creative as you. I went to the favorite number 4, Serve the King. I by no means love this horse. He's a horse that is lightly raced, and I think that's what he has going for him, and that we may not have seen his best yet. Some of these others, maybe we've seen their best, and they're trying to get back to that good form. Serve the King, I think, is just finally getting to his best right now. I mean, his maiden race is still on the page. He's 4-for-10 lifetime. Good second-place finish in that Grade 1 Turf Classic last time out. He was only beaten 3 lengths in the Grade 1 United Nations behind Tribuven and Imperador 3 starts ago. So I think he's headed the right direction. Love what I've seen with Irad Ortiz riding him the last 2 times. I think Serve the King will get the job done from off the pace in the Grade 2 Red Smith. Goes as race 9 tomorrow up at Aqueduct. We'll head down to Churchill Downs tomorrow for their stake event. It's the Grade 3 $300,000 Chalukyi Stakes. Fillies and mares here are going a mile on the main track, and of course it is a one-turn mile at Churchill Downs. So a lot of people consider it a long sprint. Some people consider it a short route. Whatever way you want to look at it, it's a tough face to handicap right here, Bob. And the morning line favorite is a filly that is not real consistent. Number 7, Obligatory for Bill Mott and Joel Rosario.
Yeah, I actually think the favorite in this race will be the regally bred three-horse Matera, who is a half to Liam's Map by Tappet. So, and obviously the purchase price of a yearling of $1.4 million. She obviously is quite a specimen. She's been lightly raced in her career. She'll be making her 9th start. She's still in search of her first piece of graded black type. She's a listed winner. The Grade 2 Chalukyi, I think, is something that she's been very well primed for Brad Cox. Obviously does an outstanding job. My selection actually is the 1. I've watched a lot of racing, including listening to you guys yesterday from Churchill Downs, and it seems like speed on the rail is a very valuable asset, and She Can't Sing for Lothenback Stables and Chris Block looks like the type under the still red hot Tyler Gaffleone that might be able to control the race from the inside post at the 6-1 morning line.
All right, we'll see if you actually get 6-1 on a Tyler Gaffleone runner at Churchill Downs. Seems like everything he rides gets bet, and more often than not, they get good trips, and a lot of them win. She Can't Sing 6-1 on the morning line for Bob in the Grade 3 Chalukyi. I went to number 3, Matera. Right now, she is the co-second choice on the morning line, along with number 4, Miss Bigley. The favorite, as I mentioned, is number 7, Obligatory, who did not do much running last time out at Keeneland in the Raven Run, but she is 1-for-1 at Churchill, so maybe she's just a filly that likes it better in Louisville than she does in Lexington. Hard to say right now, but that being said, number 3, Matera, I like what I've seen from her. She's another one who I think is on the improve. She really did not show a whole lot her first 2 starts of her career back in 2019, but she is just much better right now as a 4-year-old in 2021 than she was as a 2-year-old back then, and coming off a nice 4th-place finish in the Grade 3 Locust Grove last time out, even though she has not hit the board in 1 career start at Churchill Downs. That fourth place finish was pretty good. And look who she ran behind. She Dares the Devil and En Voutante. Either one of them would be 1-5
Very
if they
tough.
Were in this race tomorrow. So I went
Absolutely.
With Matera, who is right now 3-1 on the morning line in tomorrow's Grade 3 Chalukie Race 10 down at Churchill Downs. We went south to Churchill. We're going to go even farther south tomorrow to Delta Downs for the $100,000 Jean Lafitte Stakes. Two-year-olds going 1 mile here, approximate post time, 4:09 Central Time. And, Bob, it is a two-turn mile at Delta Downs. They actually start way at the end of the home stretch chute. So if you're imagining looking at a conventional one-mile track, it would be where they start a mile and a quarter races, even further back than that. But it is a really long run to the first of two turns in the Jean Lafitte tomorrow. We've got a big field of a 10 that includes an entry of Unojo and Wait a Minute Hayes. Where did you end up?
I can't look past the favorite here. Brad Cox really is a master of reading the stakes condition book, and he's found an ideal spot for the 7, Kaylee's brother. I've learned my lesson in the past opposing him when he ships, and this is a horse that just broke his maiden impressively at Keeneland. Looked good doing it. Significantly, the two horses that finished behind him ran second and third have already come back and broken their maiden. Presumably in their next start, since that race was October 9th. And this horse adds Lasix going to Delta Downs, which hasn't raced on Lasix before. I don't know how you view that, but I don't think it'll hurt the horse. And he looks like he'll just kind of sit the perfect trip under leading rider Tim Thornton.
Yeah, I think Kaylee's brother, his last race, really points him out as the one to beat in this spot. The biggest question mark is going to be the two turns and the mile. He's really not overly bred to be better routing than sprinting, being by Twirling Candy out of a Yes, It's True mare. You would tend to think a little bit more one turn than two turns for that type of breeding. Doesn't mean it can't happen. And certainly anything close to the way he ran last time out when getting that maiden win in a tough maiden special weight race at Keeneland makes him easily the one to beat in this spot. If it's not Kaylee's brother, it's pretty wide open. I agree with you, though, Bob. If you can somehow get 9-5 on Kaylee's brother, you probably ought to run to the windows. He looks more like about 4-5 even money to me in the Jean Lafitte. Goes as race 9 tomorrow at Delta Downs. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll head out for some more Saturday action out to the West Coast in Del Mar and back to, well, not the Midwest, but toward the East Coast in Mahoning Valley. You're listening to this weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premium perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRM200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRM200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Riptide Rock flying down the outside. I think safe conduct narrowly from Riptide Rock and a photo in the Queen's Plate. And Raging Bull, the Dice K Fukumoto, stole this year's Rico Wood by Mile with Town Cruise. Walton Street demolishes them. A big winner of the Patterson Canadian International.
Watch and wager on world-class racing from Woodbine Racetrack with Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday post times at 12:55 Eastern and a Friday post time of 4:45 Eastern. With racing now through December 4th and plenty of weekend stakes, you are not going to want to miss out on the action at Woodbine. For more information on racing and handicapping, visit woodbine.com.
Coming this November, it's the America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards, covering the best of the sport and lifestyle, all decided by the fans. Here's your chance to vote. The America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. This week, I take a look back at the racing career of Native Diver. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 219 or XM 201, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
I'm Manny Franco, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Approaching the quarter pole, mid-court still clear by two lengths. Restrained Vengeance, King Abner, 235 on the outside, inching closer. Combatant is next. Roadster has eight lengths to make up. Top of the lane at mid-court, very sharp. Continues to cruise along on the front, and he's got a three-length lead. A big run from 235, who's trying to get closer, and King Abner is on the fence. A 16th to go, and it's mid-court. Powerful in victory. Takes the San Pasqual handily. 235 was second, then Combatant, followed by King Abner and Restrained Vengeance.
Frank Miramati on the call of the 2020 Grade 2 San Pasqual at Santa Anita, won in wire-to-wire fashion by midcourt, and he will try to strut his stuff tomorrow in the Grade 3 Native Diver at Del Mar. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich taking you through a dozen stakes from around North America this weekend. And right now, Bob, we're going to go to a track that I'm not sure we've ever covered on the Weekend Stakes Preview, Mahoning Valley Racecourse in Ohio. They have got two stakes on their card tomorrow, and the first one is race number six, goes at 2:34 Eastern Time, the $75,000 First Lady Stakes. These are Ohio-bred three-year-old fillies sprinting six furlongs at Mahoning Valley, a short but sweet field of six, and it's really going to be hard to get past number two, Amma Devil. She has just been flawless in five career tries.
She's been amazing. I was unfamiliar with her until I read these PPs yesterday. She might be Ohio's version of Pepper's Pride or Happy Ticket. She's just absolutely dusted. Almost led at every call in all five of her races, and basically just wins as easily as she pleases. She does have some opposition in here of note. The one horse, Esplanade, which I think is probably a misspelling of Esplanade, but Esplanade is also speedy and very good, but she just doesn't seem good enough to keep up with Amma Devil, nor does Mahoning Valley seem to be her favorite place. I guess the only caveat with Amma Devil is all five of her easy wins have come at Thistle Downs, but she's worked twice at Mahoning Valley for the very high percentage barn of David Wolichuk. And I think she's probably got a nice feel for the surface, and that's about the only thing that can stop her would be the new racetrack. And I think we'll see more Amma Devil, and I think we'll see her win pretty easily at a tiny price.
Yeah, first of all, I think if you think you're getting anywhere close to the morning line of 6 to 5, I've got
you're
some
dreaming.
Land I'd like to sell you in Florida because, you know, she won 1-9 last time out. She was 4-5, 1-20, two starts in a row. And it's not like she's barely winning those races. She's won her race in her five career starts. The smallest margin of victory was 5.5 lengths. Otherwise, 24 lengths, 11 lengths, 6¾, 6¾. Kelsey Kaiser aboard once again for, as you mentioned, the hot training David Wolichuk, who's also a part owner of this filly. By the way, Amma Devil, do you think they cashed a ticket on her first time out? She was 2-1 in her debut.
I was going to say
not only favored in the race, but if you look at the works leading up to her debut mid June earlier this year. Five furlongs in 103 flat, half mile in 49, 5/8 in 105, 5/8 in 103 out of the gate, half mile in 50, and then she goes five furlongs in 57/2 on a muddy track first time out and wins by 24. I'm going to guess that they had been planning to bet her all along.
Yeah, I would say so. From what I know of the stable, they do like to have a bet on theirs, and they set her up perfectly, and they got the money. They must have been feeling pretty smug standing along the rail when she was going in the gate, looking at the price on the board. And I mean, to win by 24.25 first out's mind blowing. You know, you got to keep in mind too that she's been winning easily. I'm sure she hasn't had to do a whole lot of running in the last 16th of a mile of her races either. So it'll be interesting. I guess the most interesting aspect is the surface switch, new racetrack, also dirt. We'll see if she can pull it off, but I'd be quite surprised if somebody stopped her in this race, the first lady.
She probably will make the lead in the race. The only other one who looks like she could possibly match strides earlier is the one you mentioned, number one, Esplanade, who tried Amadevil back on September 2nd at Thistledown in the Anjanora Stakes and couldn't keep up with Amadevil that day and faded into oblivion that afternoon. Esplanade's down on the inside. So Amadevil, breaking just outside of what looks like her main rival, will either make the lead or be able to press her from the get-go, and I would expect her to be very, very tough again. 6-5, no chance. I think you're lucky if you get 1-2 tomorrow in the First Lady Amadevil for both Bob and myself in race 6 at Mahoning Valley. Seventh race on tomorrow's Mahoning Valley card is another state-bred stake. This time the Ohio-bred three-year-olds and up going in the $75,000 Cardinal Handicap. 6 furlongs at Mahoning Valley. A little bit of a bigger field. We've got 8 of them going to post here, and definitely a tougher race to handicap. No total standout like we see in the previous race. Number 4, Altissimo, coming off an impressive win last time out in the Ohio Sprint, is the 8-5 chalk on the line.
Boy, has he had a remarkable career. The 8-year-old is 22-52, and I would predominantly against Ohio-bred competition, has made over $1 million. Incredibly well managed by Team Zielinski here. I remember the co-owner, Ron Zielinski, when he trained in Chicago. Very skilled trainer, very crafty operator. And Richard, his son, obviously knows what he's doing as well. And this horse has been beautifully campaigned, and he's had a great year. His 8-year-old year has been better than his 7-year-old year. He's 4-6 this year, and this looks like his favorite racetrack. So I personally don't see what stops the favorite Altissimo in here.
Well, I don't disagree with anything you said, and I think Altissimo is very tough to beat in this spot. I will note this, though. When they ran last time out in that Ohio Sprint, in fact, most of the runners in this race come out of that same race won by Altissimo on October 30th at Mahoning Valley. Altissimo that day was odds of 5-2. The favorite in the race was number 7, Liberate. They were both 5-2. Liberate just a few dollars more at post time, and Liberate got caught up into a pace duel and faded pretty badly down the stretch, and it really set up for somebody coming from off the pace, and that was Altissimo. Well, I think you're going to get a much better price tomorrow than what we saw last time out on number 7, Liberate. He's also being reunited with jockey Malcolm Franklin, who has ridden him the best of late. So I don't know if Liberate needs to have the lead. He's shown races where it looks like he can sit just off the pace. He certainly doesn't have the kick that Altissimo has, and he's had the misfortune of losing to Altissimo several times in his career. But I'm just going to be, not the naysayer, but I'm looking at the glass half full with Liberate tomorrow and saying that maybe things are going to be better for him. I like the fact that he's outside. I like that he's getting back to his regular rider. I like that he's going to be a better price. I'm going to put Liberate on top. I'm not so narrow-minded that I wouldn't use Altissimo as well. I mean, it's just so, everything you said, Bobby, it's just so hard to get past. He's a horse that can show speed. He's a horse that can come from off the pace. And he's won 22 times already in his illustrious career. So Bob, cool, going with Altissimo. I'm going to put number 7, Liberate, on top in the $75,000 Cardinal Handicap Race 7 tomorrow at Mahoning Valley. Let's fly way out west to Southern California and beautiful Del Mar for the Grade 3 $100,000 Native Diver Stakes. 3-year-olds and up going 1 1/8 on the main track at Del Mar. We've got a field of 8 going to post, Bob, and it brings back the first of a handicapping angle this year that I look for every year. And before we get your selection in this race, there are very few hard and fast patterns, if you will, that I stand by. I'm not somebody who's, you know, definitely looking for dirt to turf or turf to dirt or 2 sprints to a route, something like that. But my basic theory when it comes to horses in the Breeders' Cup is there is no way they are more cranked up and pointed for any race in their life, you know, save the Kentucky Derby, than they are for the Breeders' Cup. They aim for the Breeders' Cup every year. The horses are pointed for the Breeders' Cup. That's where they are primed to do their best. And horses who come back and run again in the same calendar year in which they ran in the Breeders' Cup, I look to bet against almost every time. More often than not, they're favored, and they win a lot less often than favorites generally do around the country, because I just don't think they're going to run better than they did in the Breeders' Cup more often than not. There are exceptions. There are certainly exceptions to the rule, but we have one of those in the Native Diver tomorrow, and that is the Bob Baffert trainee, Eight Rings, who was 7-2 on the morning line. He tried the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile just 2 weeks ago at Del Mar. Tried to keep up with Life is Good in the early going. He couldn't do it. He ended up fading, finishing fourth, beaten about seven lengths that day. He's probably going to take a lot of action coming back on what seems like shortish rest and stretching out to a mile and an eighth in the Native Diver. Where'd you end up going?
He ran a really good race in the Breeders' Cup, actually, but it, like you said, I couldn't agree with you more. He definitely had to have tried really, really hard, and like you said, he had to have been cranked up for it. So, yeah, for him to run a similar race, I think that would be a big ask. And quite frankly, I'm surprised they're asking it of him, but there he is. Really interesting point in here about Midcourt, who's been a marvelous horse, really up until his last start, in which he ran no sort of race and was eased and walked off. I think that John Sheriff's deservedly is one of the most well-respected trainers in the game, and that Midcourt would not be in here unless he was in tip-top condition. So he definitely bears watching, and if he's close to 4-1, I think that's good value. I actually am taking a bit of a price play on a shipper here from the Greg Sacco barn, who goes from Monmouth to Delaware to Del Mar, and a 100 grander, and I think that he must be training very well to get on the plane. And Sacco and Bravo have had a lot of success in New Jersey over the years, and I think he's a proper 9 furlong horse, and I think he's kind of fresh. This will be his fifth lifetime start, and I think he's sitting on a big effort, and there'll be a big price. And I'm gonna go with the 4 Bal Harbor.
All right, Bal Harbor, 8-1 on the morning line for Bob. I'm going to go to the other horse you mentioned, the horse that we heard on the rejoin, number 2, Midcourt. He was so awful last time out in the Awesome. Again, I think it's a non-effort. It's a race you can literally draw a line through. We saw this before from Midcourt. He ran very poorly in the Gold Cup early in middle of 2020 at Santa Anita, where he was in good form going into that race, was 2-1 in that race against Improbable and Tenfold and horses like that, and he got beat 23 lengths. Came back off a few, not even that long of a layoff, like a 6 or 7 week layoff, and showed a much improved effort. So I don't know what it is with this horse that every now and then he throws in these gigantic clunkers, but he's proven to me that those races are anomalies, and he's capable of completely ignoring them and running good races next time out. If you draw a line through Midcourt's last race, he's certainly one of the ones to beat, and he's already won this race. He won the Native Diver 2 years ago. He was second as the favorite in the Native Diver last year. He likes it at Del Mar, and you mentioned John Sheriff's. I think this is where he excels, getting horses to run well off these little bit of a layoffs. I'm going to try Midcourt to get his second career win in the Native Diver. Not second career win overall. He's got 6 wins, but his second Native Diver win, winning in 2019 and hopefully tomorrow in 2021. Midcourt for me, Bal Harbor for Bob. Both of us taking shots against the morning line favorite, 8 Rings, one of a couple in here for trainer Bob Baffert. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we will close out the Saturday stakes action at Golden Gate and start at looking at Sunday's big stakes races. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premium perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Live racing is back at Churchill Downs October 31st through November 28th with the same strong purses we've had all year, and you are not going to want to miss it. Highlighted by the graded stakes such as the Grade 3 Chalukie, the Grade 2 Falls City, Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club and the Grade 2 Goldenrod, along with the Grade 1 Clark, this November meet is sure to be full of excitement. For more racing information and to get your tickets today, visit ChurchillDowns.com. That's ChurchillDowns.com.
Don't miss the Equine Forum every Saturday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, right here on HRRN. Mike Penna brings you the latest in thoroughbred racing, featuring interviews with trainers, jockeys, owners, and other racing insiders. Plus, exclusive segments you won't hear anywhere else, like In the Room with Sean Clancy, A Stroll Through Racing History with Kurt Becker, and I Ask, They Answer with Tim Wilkin and Dale Romans. The Equine Forum. The show that launched a network. Saturdays, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 and streaming at horseracingradio.net.
This is Florent Giroux, and you are listening to HRRN.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts.
It's a four-length gap. And Run Curtis Run on the outside. It's a four-length gap back to Defusky Island on the outside with Montebello and Happy Happy Bee, the half mile in 44 and 4/5 seconds as they move down for the eighth pole. Senbei is clear. Senbei's in front by four lengths. Run Curtis Run is dropping back. Happy Happy Bee and now moves into second. On the outside is Montebello. And then Hoo Hoo, That's Me. Senbei in front as they come on for the finish. Senbei makes it 2 for 2 in his career, and he wins the Funny Side Stakes. It's a photo for second. The time was 1:18.
John and Brielle on the call of this 2021 Funny Side Stakes this past summer at Saratoga, won impressively by Senbei. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Bobby Newman and Bob Nastanovic taking you through a dozen races from around North America this weekend. Before we get back to the stakes previews, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Oh, and this is a big one, really a bombshell on Thursday night. Miller to take hiatus from training. Southern California-based trainer Peter Miller announced November 18th he would be stepping away from training beginning November 29th. The five-time Breeders' Cup-winning trainer, currently ranked 14th this year by North American Earnings, made the surprise announcement in a press release distributed Thursday evening. Miller, 55, indicated he wants to spend more time with his family and focus on his overall health. Quote, I've been working virtually every day on the backstretch of a racetrack since the day after I graduated from high school in 1984, he said in his release. On that day, I was lucky enough to be hired by the great Hall of Fame trainer Charlie Whittingham. I am and forever will be grateful for all that he taught me. I know there may be some speculation related to this decision. However, I wanted to make it clear it is not a result of any regulatory action, secret agreement, or hidden agenda of any kind. This is strictly a personal decision. So as of November 29th, I'll be taking a step back. I'm grateful to all my clients and talented, hardworking team. I am completely indebted to them for the successes we have shared. My extremely capable and longtime assistant, Ruben Alvarado, will be taking the reins, and I will continue to act as an advisor slash racing manager to my owners and my assistants, as well as staying involved as an owner myself. My love for horses lured me to the racetrack as a teenager and held me there for the next 38 years. I trust that it will bring me back after the hiatus. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The new Blood Horse Plus, available through BloodHorse.com, provides exclusive content to subscribers, including a daily detailed stakes winners section, behind-the-scenes videos and interviews, on-demand access to deeper horse stats, Blood Horse Market Watch, monthly credit on EquineLine.com for pedigrees, race and produce records, and much, much more. That's the new Blood Horse Plus on BloodHorse.com. Upgrade today. And Bob, a little bit of a shockwave throughout the industry is Peter Miller announcing last night that, in his own words, that he's taking a break. And it certainly sounds like the door is open for him to come back. But, you know, if you can try to get a gauge of how, you know, that press release sounded, it sounds like he's just tired and he needs time off.
Could very well be. I'm not sure of it. Hiatus from training is needs such a lengthy explanation, but there you go.
Well, as he mentioned in there, and you know, you can believe what you want, but this is direct from the story and direct from his words. It doesn't have anything to do with regulatory, you know, things going on. But the truth is, he's been dealing with regulatory action from Santa Anita for quite some time now. He's had some issues right now. He's had a stressful year, and maybe it's just taking his toll on him. I certainly hope that he gets back to training sooner than later, but we will see. And his assistants, I'm sure, will do a great job. We'll see if they keep all the owners, or if a lot of these owners end up shifting their horses to other big name trainers around the country. Once again, Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovic here on the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. We've got one more Saturday race to take a look at, Bob, and we're going to go up to the Bay Area and Golden Gate Fields for the $50,000 Oakland Stakes. Three-year-olds and up sprinting 6 furlongs on their main track. And, of course, they have a synthetic surface as the main track at Golden Gate. And right now the favorite is number one In Our A, 2-1 on the line for Ellen Jackson and Pedro Torero.
Really cool horse. He's a 5-year-old gelding. He's raced 10 times. He's finished in the exacta. All 10 races, 5 wins. I'm not sure if 6 furlongs is his best distance. He's 1 for 5 going 6. He ran a bang up race last time behind Top Harbor. To me, it looks like there's plenty of speed in here. He's obviously going to go from the rail. I'm very intrigued by the entry of the 6, who's also my selection, Border Town, who's a full brother to Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf winner Hit It A Bomb and Royal Ascot winner Brave Anna. So the pedigree's there. And Mandela I trust on this occasion. He's switching surfaces, going to the synth, Hit It A Bomb. Bomb in his only race in Ireland won easily on the synth at Dundalk, so I don't think that'll be a problem. And he's choosing to sprint, and I think that Border Town is going to wake up in this spot and get back on track. He's had a good career, and I think that Mandela's made a series of decisions based on where he stands, and I think I think he's going to close strongly and win this race at Golden Gate.
Well, I don't have much to add to that. We're on the same horse, number six, Border Town. He's a horse who's done very well routing on the turf, and the advent of these synthetic surfaces was to make it easier or make it a viable substitute for turf horses. And you've seen what they've done at Gulfstream Park, adding a synthetic surface in there to avoid getting all the scratches when scheduled turf races move over to the main track. They have had less scratches, and the turf horses generally, not always, but generally perform well on synthetic dirt surfaces. Well, Border Town tried a conventional dirt surface last time at Los Al, and he was terrible that day. But his previous tries on turf were good. They actually shipped him up to Golden Gate early. He got an official workout over the synthetic track. I have nothing bad to say about number one In Our A. He is breaking from the rail. I guess that may be the only question mark. He doesn't show any rail starts thus far in his career, but I think the pace will be hot, just as you mentioned, Bob, and I think Border Town will come running. Number six, Border Town, for both Bob and myself in tomorrow's Oakland Stakes, race 7 on the card at Golden Gate Fields. Moving to Sunday, Aqueduct has 2 stakes on the Sunday card, and the third race on Sunday is the $100,000 Notebook Stakes. New York bred 2-year-olds going 6 furlongs on the main track. We've got a field of 6, and as we came back out of break, we heard the stretch run of the Funny Side, won by Senbei. Senbei has done very little wrong in his career, Bob. 4 career starts, 3 very impressive wins, and 1 pretty good second place finish to his credit. He has never raced at Aqueduct. I guess that is 1 big question mark, but boy, it's hard to fault what he's done thus far.
No, he's been pretty stellar, and he'll probably go off 2-5, 3-5 in here, and he probably deserves to be that sort of price. I'm actually going to oppose him in here. I took a horse that he's beaten twice, actually, pretty handily on both occasions. That's the 2 Dow Fusky Island, trained by Kelly Breen. I have a question for you. I've seen a lot of handicapping in New York lately. I've seen a lot of previously trained by Jeremiah Englehart. Is he on a hiatus too? Would you know?
I don't know. And
have you seen that too?
It's a very good question. And you know, The positive sign about this is you go from one very capable barn in Jeremiah Engelhart to another very capable
barn. To another,
In Kelly Breen. And I can only assume, and this is just an assumption, so I don't know, but that Dalfouski Island has been with Breen since he's been back to the Big Apple. You know, he was at Finger Lakes for a couple of starts. He's worked twice at Belmont. I'm just assuming those are under Kelly Breen's tutelage.
Yeah, Breen's 21% first time with Trainer. As you said, he's very capable. He's won a lot of big races in recent times. And both of his races in which he was well beaten by Senby, he had pretty significant excuses. A terrible start last time, still ran okay, and then a really wide trip on the funny side. So 7-2 on the morning line. I expect Senbei to be so heavily bet that Dalfouski Island might be more in the neighborhood of 5-1, and I think he's an outstanding bet at that price.
Okay, so Bob going with number 2, Dalfouski Island for Kelly Breen and Jose Ortiz. Ortiz has actually never ridden Dalfouski Island before, looking for a better trip with Dalfouski Island. I went to the favorite Senbei. I think even if the others improve, they're going to have to really improve to beat him. That doesn't mean he can't get beat, but I like the fact that he showed that he doesn't have to have the lead to still win. He had been going to the lead the first 3 starts of his career. Last time out, he stalked the pace in one of those New York Breeders' Futurity races up at Finger Lakes, went by and powered away to a very impressive win. I think he's getting better and better for Christophe Clément, and Manny Franco, who's been aboard for all of his starts, once again will be aboard Sunday in the notebook. Senbei for me, Dalfouski Island for Bob in the $100,000 notebook, race 3 on the Sunday card at Aqueduct. We're going to jump forward all the way to the 9th race on the Sunday card at Aqueduct, and they're co-featured event is the $100,000 Key Sense. These are New York bred 2-year-old fillies going 6 furlongs on the main track. We've got a field of 8 here, and another race where it's really tough to figure out who you're going to want to take a stand with, because you've got some runners here that are coming off gigantic wins, like Cupid's Heart, like Classy Edition. Then you have number 7, Making My Move, who was so impressive in her debut and really didn't run poorly trying the turf in the Grade 3 Matron last time out. Some other up-and-comers. Where'd you end up, Bob?
On the 6, Classy Edition, who I think the morning line's 9-5, and I think she'll go off much shorter than that. I think she's the kind of New York bred that will probably be looking for open company when she heads. I imagine she's going to Gulfstream Park. She's won really easily, and she's shown a lot of ability in her 2 starts, including last time in her stakes debut in the mud at Belmont. And to me, she's just a really, really talented 2-year-old filly from the Pletcher barn, and I expect her to have a big say in what happens next year with the 3-year-old fillies at Gulfstream.
See, now you think she's going to go to Gulfstream. I think the purses are so good for the New York breds, and let's face it, the competition in the wintertime in New York is not quite what it is in the wintertime at Gulfstream Park. I would not be surprised if she stays in New York all year. Todd Pletcher, you know, the bulk of his runners are going to be in South Florida. He always keeps a string in New York. He'll shuttle some back and forth. So I would not be surprised if for now they stick with that money against New York breds and keep her there. I have nothing bad to say.
I wouldn't be surprised either if you're correct, but I just think she might be pretty high up the pecking order in the Pletcher barn, and I do expect the 8. She's a wild joker, the daughter of Practical Joke, who's had a great first season to run a better race. I think she'll hit the board at a big price.
Okay, so Bob likes the favorite, number 6, Classy Edition, thinks number 8, She's a Wild Joker, is an interesting one to at least be underneath in that spot. I had a tough time deciding between number 5, Cupid's Heart, number 6, Classy Edition, number 7, Making My Move. Very slight push to the 7, Making My Move. She was great in her career debut in one of those tough maiden special weight events up at Saratoga, and she just dump truck the field that day, winning by a dozen lengths. They liked her enough that they tried her in the Grade 3 Matron sprinting on the turf in her next start. And she tried, you know, she not only tried a surface she had never tried, she tried tougher competition than what she had seen before. And she wasn't able to get the lead in that race, and she still ran pretty well. She ran 4th, only beaten a length and a half. Philly, who was just in front of her Mystic Eyes, came back and won in her next start. I happen to think that Making My Move will be better on the dirt than she was on the turf. now facing winners for the second time, getting back to what I think will be her preferred surface. I'm going to put her on top. Plus, I think she'll be in front of Cupid's Heart in Classy Edition. They will have to pass her at some point if they want to get the win. So I'm going to take number 7, making my move on top. If I'm playing horizontally, I'm using all three. Cupid's Heart, Classy Edition, making my move. Making my move, though, on top for me, number 6, Classy Edition, on top for Bibe. Race number 9, Sunday at Aqueduct, the $100,000 key sense for the New York-bred 2-year-old fillies sprinting 6 furlongs. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we'll continue to look at the Sunday action, go north of the border to Woodbine and out to the West Coast at Del Mar. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premium perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Champions are returning to Gulfstream for the championship meet starting December 3rd until April 3rd. Witness the best thoroughbred racing Wednesday through Sunday with weekly stakes races. Returning for its 6th year this January is the 2022 Pegasus World Cup with world-class racing, delectable cuisine, stunning celebrities, and iconic fashion. New for 2022 is the 3rd graded stakes race, the Pegasus Turf for fillies and mares with a $500,000 purse. Tickets go on sale November 8th. Visit PegasusWorldCup.com to learn more and get tickets.
Coming this November, it's the America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards. Covering the best of the sport and lifestyle, all decided by the fans. Here's your chance to vote. The America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards.
If it happens in horse racing, it happens on HRRN.
Broom and Yabir down to the wire. It is Yabir and William Buick to win the turf. Here comes Dunbar. Coming to the wire, and it is, oh, it's desperately close. Was it Marsh Lorraine, or was it Dunbar Road? Medina Spirit, Hot Rod Charlie, Essential Quality, Nick Go, a superstar, wins the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Racing's biggest events are right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, this is Penelope Miller, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
They turn for home. It's Desmond Doss, fashionably fast. Brando, the bartender, tips out to try to run them down. Top of the lane, at the rail, Desmond Doss and fashionably fast, nose to nose. Brando, the bartender, has about 10 seconds to get by them, and here he comes. Brando, the bartender, in the center of the track, fashionably fast, and Desmond Doss, an absolute thriller in the Tisnow as they come for the wire together as one. Here is the finish, fashionably fast. All he wants to do is win, and he did it again.
Frank Miramati on the call of this year's Tisnow Stakes at Santa Anita, won by fashionably fast. You don't hear that in the call very often, Bob. A horse has about 10 seconds to get on. And he was not able to do it fashionably fast.
He's uniquely great, Frank Miramati.
That was great. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Folks, have you joined the Naira Betts Aqueduct Saturday contest yet? Just a $300 buy-in cash payouts throughout 7 place and one entry into the next $300 contest for 8th through 10th place. Cigar Mile contest already opening up too. All the best fall and winter horse racing awaits at tracks like Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, and of course Aqueduct, as well as many, many more. With Naira Betts, new users can enjoy a $200 sign-up deposit match bonus anytime. Just use the promo code HRRN200 and get in the action today. And be sure to tune into America's Day at the Races, running on FS2 every afternoon throughout the weekend. This weekend's schedule, Saturday, Fox Sports 2, 11:30 a.m. Eastern to 6 p.m. Eastern. Sunday, FS2, 11:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., then switch over to FS1 from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. All the action right there on America's Day at the races. Okay, three more races to look at, Bob, on the Sunday docket, and we're going to start at Woodbine with their third race Sunday. It's the $100,000 South Ocean Stakes, and these are Ontario-bred two-year-old fillies going 6.5 furlongs on their main track. We've got a field of 7, and number 5, Yamar, 9-5 on the morning line for Mark Cassie and Kaz Kimura.
Yeah, first of all, you're reading the Naira Betts contest ad. It has convinced me to take a crack at it. I'm definitely going to enter that. So you sold me, Bobby.
So what you're saying is if things go really well for you this weekend, you may be taking an extended vacation?
Not an extended vacation. I'm always happy to do this. I get kind of on an extended vacation anyway. Most importantly, to Woodbine, to the South Ocean Stakes. These are the boys' first Ontario breds, and I have price playing here. No, these are the fillies. I'm sorry, I misspoke. These are the fillies in the South Ocean. They go first. And I landed on the two-year-old gray filly by Dynamic Sky, who overcame a poor start in her first race and mowed down a field of maidens. And then they moved her up to Stakes Company last time in the Shady Well, I believe it's called. And she had a poor start, still ran a very good race at a big number. And she turned some heads doing so, and I expect her to take a further step forward in a race that's 6.5 furlongs, which I think really might appeal to her. She's got a lot of stamina in her pedigree being out of an English Channel mare. And I think there's a load of speed in here. I think it's going to be a lively, contested pace, and I expect My Girl Sky to be running at the end.
Okay, so Bob going with number 6, My Girl Sky, 6-1 on the morning line. I'm also going to try to beat the favorite with the other Mark Cassie trainee, number 4, Lois Len, who's 5-2 on the morning line. Patrick Husbands rides. She has raced 5 times already in her career, and she's been kind of doing it all at Woodbine, sprinting on the main track, sprinting on the turf, routing on the main track, routing on the turf. I think sprinting on the main track is her best play, and I think she's the one who could come closing the best if they duke it out up front. So Lois is Len for me. By the way, this is really tough for me because the gentleman who owns and bred the favorite number 5, Yamar, Gabe Grossberg, went out to dinner with him and his whole entourage on Breeders' Cup Friday at Del Mar. He's a super nice guy.
Great guy.
And normally I would be rooting with both hands for anything that he's got running because he is such a nice guy. But, you know, we have to pick with our head.
You can still root for him.
Yeah, I mean, we have to pick with our head, not with our heart. And my head says to try to beat Yamar. I don't know if it's possible, but I'm going to try number 4, Lois Len. Bob is going to use number 6, My Girl Sky. Race number 3, Sunday at Woodbine, the $100,000 South Ocean Stakes. Let's jump all the way ahead to the 9th race on the Sunday card at Woodbine. This is the Colton Gelding version of their stakes. Co-featured events, the $100,000 Frost King for the Ontario sired two-year-olds, sprinting 6.5 furlongs on the main track. And short field here, just 7 of them going to post, Bob. Where'd you end up going?
I went to the 7-horse Classy Whisper, who's trained by the former very good rider Francine Villeneuve. And I'm not sure how long she's been training, but she's had a good year. Obviously with limited starters, so she must have a pretty small string. But Classy Whisper, a 2-year-old gelding by Silent Name out of a 2-punch mare, really impressed me with his tenacity last time, breaking his maiden going 1.70 miles. And I think that sprinting is more his forte. So I expect him to turn back to the sprint. He's working right along nicely. And I think that he'll get to get a nice outside trip and lay close enough. And I think he'll run a big race, you know, albeit at a short price of 5-2.
I think Francine Villeneuve actually won this race as a jockey, so trying to win it as a trainer for the first time with number 7, Classy Whisper. I went to the other favorite, number 5, Gatling Gun, for owner-trainer Barbara Minshall, who has been in the business for a long time. She actually bred this 2-year-old son of Silent Name, who's run pretty well in both of his career starts. Loved that maiden win last time out as the favorite. This horse has speed. I don't know if he's going to get locked into a speed duel, but I like the fact that he improved from his debut to his second start. I think he has further improvement in him. So we're taking the two favorites here. Bob going with number 7, Classy Whisper. I'm going with number 5, Gatling Gun, in race 9 on Sunday at Woodbine, the $100,000 Frost King. Final race we're going to look at this weekend is out at beautiful Del Mar, and we heard the intro there of Fashionably Fast winning the Tis Now Stakes earlier this year over at Del Mar. Well, Fashionably Fast is certainly going to be one of the ones once again this weekend, this Sunday at Del Mar. And the featured race is race number 8 on the card. It is the Cary Grant. And the Cary Grant is $100,000. These are cal-bred or cal-sired 3-year-olds and up, going 7 furlongs on the main track. Not the easiest race to handicap, Bob. A lot of ways you can go. The morning line favorite is number 4, Colt Fiction.
Yeah, I like the 2, Not Above Law. Peter Miller, of course, is at least winding down this phase of his training career, as you mentioned earlier during the news report from Bloodhorse. This horse ran the best race of his life, going 7/8 on the dirt at Del Mar in the Real Good Deal under Flavian Pratt when he won by 5 1/4. Bravo rides today. The two of them are 25% together. Turf to dirt, he's got a high percentage. I just think that, a cow bred by Caraconti out of a Northern Elite mare, very versatile horse, goes well on anything. And I think 7 furlongs on the dirt ought to be perfect for him. And I think Not Above the Law will be very tough to beat in this race.
All right, none above the law, for Bob, 3-1 on the morning line. I am going to the other 3-1 shot. Co-second choices, number 1, Fashionably Fast. We heard it there in the rejoin. This is a horse who just almost always runs good races, and he's been 6-8 in his career, first or second, running on the main track at Del Mar, coming off a win at Fresno in his last start, sprinting 6 furlongs, stretching out to 7 furlongs. I don't think will be any harm to him at all. Yeah, he can go well all the way up to 2 turn miles. He's got the inside post, which is usually not where you want to be at 7 furlongs, but I can't get past his consistency. He runs well pressing the pace or from a few lengths off of it. I'm going to try Fashionably Fast. None Above the Law for Bob, Fashionably Fast for me in the 8th race on Sunday, the Cary Grant Stakes at Del Mar.
Quick question.
Go ahead.
Have you been to Fresno?
I have been to Fresno.
I was going to say, I figured if anybody I know had been to Fresno racing, it would be you.
I have been. The big Fresno Fair, my friend. Okay, all dozen races in the book. It's time now for the Naira Betts Best Bet.
This is the Naira Betts Best Bet.
All right, Bob, take it away.
I'm going to stick with my game plan. I know it's a risky business, but my best bet, I'm going for a big number, is the 8-horse Sanctuary City and the big race of the weekend, the Grade 2 Red Smith from Aqueduct.
Okay, so first race we talked about, Bob, going with a big upsetter in number 6, number 8, Sanctuary City, 20-1 on the morning line for Jimmy Ferraro and Ruben Silvera. I'm not going to give out a 20-1 shot on top, but I'm going to go to the featured race tomorrow at Del Mar, the Grade 3 Native Diver. And I love Midcourt in this spot. His good races are easily good enough to make him the one to beat. He's coming off a real clunker last time out where he was beaten over 60 lengths. It was so bad, it probably doesn't mean anything. He's a horse that can run well on the pace. He's a horse that can pass horses if you need him to. And he's always run well at Del Mar. In fact, he's never been out of the money in 5 career starts where the turf meets the surf. 2 wins, 2 seconds, 1 third-place finish to his credit, including a win in the Native Diver 2 years ago. He likes this track. He likes this distance. He runs well fresh. Midcourt at 4-1 for me for the team of John Sheriffs and Edwin Maldonado. That's going to wrap up this week's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. A reminder, the show that launched a network, the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, tomorrow morning, 8 to 11 Eastern time. Mike Pena and a host of, or rather, a great cast of characters that he'll be talking to tomorrow. Of course, regular guest Tim Wilkin, Bobby Hult from the New York-based turf writer will join him, Ron Nicoletti, handicapper from Gulfstream Park, be talking about the end of their Flamingo meet and the start of their championship meet, which is now just 2 weeks away. There's, of course, In the Room with Sean Clancy, Kurt Becker's Stroll Through Racing History, and I Ask, They Answer, Dale Romans and Tim Wilkin, a great cast of characters tomorrow and every Saturday morning, joining Mike Penna on the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment. Reminder, next week, Thanksgiving week, schedule here on HRRN. Race day presented by Twin Spires, 3 to 5 p.m. on Wednesday, then back-to-back trainer talks from 5 to 6 and 6 to 7. No programming on Thursday. It's Thanksgiving. We're going to enjoy it as well. And then back for our regular schedule next Friday, race day from 3 to 6, and another edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Bob Nastanovich, I'm Bobby Newman. Have a great night, everyone, and a great weekend playing the races.